at the feet of Jesus, we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Sing it again now. Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. Once again now. Hallelujah. We fall down, we lay our crown at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see high lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see. Yes, I want to see you. Sing it again now. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you, Jesus. Yes, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, yes, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want down to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be here with each and every one tonight. Hope you'll all just join in with me, giving God the glory. Amen. That's what I live to do. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Bless That Wonderful Name of Jesus. I think it's in the key of F. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name, no other name I know. Well, there's power in that wonderful name of Jesus. Power in that wonderful name of Jesus. Power in that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Bless that name. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. There's healing in that name. There's healing in that wonderful name of Jesus. Healing in that wonderful name of Jesus. Healing in that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll get on a song everybody knows and we got in the database. I apologize for that. Let's sing that song, See the Bright Light Shine. Same key. There's a light in the window. Table spread its splendor. Someone standing by the open door. I can see a crystal river. I must be near forever. And I've never been this old sick before. I can see my father standing at world's been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this whole sick before. Let's get on a different key here. Sweet faces, they're all familiar. No one's old or feeble. Oh, my lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. All right, now. We'll see the bright light shine. There we go. All right. Just about a whole time. Oh, I can't see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this homesick before. First verse. Well, there's a light in the window, table spread its splendor, someone standing by the open door. I can see the crystal river, and I must be near forever. Lord, I've never been this homesick sing it now. We'll see the bright light shine. It's just about old time. I can't see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this home sick before. Second verse. I can see the family gather, sweet faces all familiar. No one's old or feeble anymore. Oh, my lonesome heart is crying. Think I'll spread my wings for flying. And I've never been this home sick before. We'll see the bright light shine. It's just about a whole time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this home sick before. Oh, see the bright light shine. It's just about a whole time. I can see my father standing at the door. This world's been a wilderness, and I'm waiting for deliverance. Lord, I've never been this home sick before. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him some praise tonight. Amen. Well, we got that one right. Amen. But we're going to try another one. You know, I was doing some work around my house the other day, and I was cleaning out the shed and pulled some things away, and I happened to see an item Brother Luther had. He and I had done a project together. He's always wanting to make some apple butter, you know, and I had a big old copper kettle, but I didn't have a stand for it. And so we got on the subject, and I told him about it. And he said, "Well, brother, I can make you a stand for that thing. I always wanted to make some apple butter." So I had the pleasure to work with him. It was probably one of the last projects I think he ever did before he passed away. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I got to missing Brother Luther so much I couldn't hardly stand it. He used to sing a song here called Life's Great Railway to Heaven. I was wondering if we could sing that together in honor of Brother Luther. Let's give that a try. Life is like a mountain railroad with an engineer that's brave. You must make the run successful. From the cradle to the grave, watch the curves, the hills, the tunnels, never falter, never quail. Keep your hand upon the throttle. That Christ is your kingdom. destruction. Oh, do your duty never fail. Keep your head upon the throttle. Oh, look for storm of wind and rain on a hill, a curve or trestle. They will almost ditch your train. Put your trust alone in Jesus. Never falter, never fail. Keep your hand upon the throttle and your eyes upon the well. Blessed Savior, thou wilt guide us till we that blissful shore where the angels wait to join us in thy praise forevermore. Amen. Let's give him some more praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll change the order of our service tonight. Still have many needs to make mention. Some of these were mentioned before. I'll let you have your seats. I'm going to ask Brother Ben McCafferty if he would take these needs before the Lord tonight. Those of you that are taking notes, I'll go over these names, folks that are out. I want to remember Sister Shirley Buchanan in prayer, needing a healing touch in her body. Brother Larry Pruitt is not feeling well. Brother Joseph Drum is not feeling well. Sister Carol Henley is needing prayer. I want to remember Brother Ben's wife, Sister Sharon. She was requesting prayer. Also want to remember Sister Amber McCall. Sister Connie Hughes is requesting prayer. Brother Roger Gibbs, I believe, is traveling. I want to remember him in prayer. I want to remember Brother Wayne Coffey in prayer. He's not feeling well. Remember the Kathy family in prayer as well. I believe they are also sick. A couple folks that are traveling is Brother Matt Cross. I believe he's ministering in Florida at my dad's church. Just remember him in prayer. And also want to remember Brother John Cockman in prayer. Amen. That's all the special needs I have at this time. Let's all stand. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, by uplifted hands, amen. Hold those needs on your heart. Lord, amen. Brother Ben.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we just count it a real privilege, Lord, to be able to come with our brothers and sisters this evening, Father, just to bring our licks of fire, Lord Jesus, to worship you and to hear your word, Father, to help us grow. And Lord, we truly are a needy people. And without you, Lord, we are hopeless, and we're just so thankful for your grace and your mercy to us. And Lord, we just bring these prayer requests that Brother Jaron mentioned here this evening, Father. Lord, you know all the needs, Father, here, all the ones that are sick, my wife recovering from the flu, Lord. We just, Lord, ask that all those that are not feeling well, Lord, that you would just go and lay your loving hand of healing, Father, upon them to help them to recover. Lord, those that are traveling, Father, the ones that were here for the marriage banquet that are heading back home, Lord, we just ask that you'll give them traveling mercies, Father. And Lord, we ask that you'll be with the remainder of the service. Bless Brother Jaron, bless the musicians, Father, as we continue to worship you. And Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, help us just to continue to do our part, Father, to pull. And Lord, may the word find its root deep in our hearts, Lord, to help us to be closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ben. You can have your seats. Let's sing that song, He Paid a Debt, Did Not Owe. I believe Brother Keith has a special, if he'd make his way right after this song.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Once again now.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen. Brother Keith, amen.
Amen. This song, I actually want, this is another special that I want you all to sing with me. Y'all did such a good job last week, I'm going to have you do it again. This song is my father-in-law's favorite song, and he's always streaming, and I'd like to do this for him. And I asked him one time what his favorite song was, and he told me it was this song. And I asked him, I said, well, why is this song your favorite song? And he said, well, I can think of no greater thing that I could ask for in my life than the one who created it all to stand by me. As long as he's standing by you, who else do you need to stand by you? It's a great song, so help me sing it, Stand By Me.
When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossing me like a ship upon the sea, thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. In the midst of tribulation, stand by me. Strength begins to fail. Thou who never lost a battle, stand by me. In the midst of my faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of my faults and failures, stand by me. And when I do the best I can, and my friends misunderstand, thou who knowest changed all about me. Stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. In the midst of persecution, stand by me. When my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way, thou who saved both Paul and Silas, stand by me. Now listen to this. When I'm getting old and feeble, stand by me. When I'm getting old and feeble, stand by me. When my life becomes a burden and I'm nearing chilly Jordan, O thou lily of the valley, stand by me. Stand by me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Appreciate that special. Let's all stand. Ask our deacons if they would come forward. We're going to take up our evening offering. Just want to make everyone aware. We are having this offering and dedication of Brother Ron Knobloch. So we'll just give us unto the Lord. Amen. Brother Andy, lead us in prayer.
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we love and appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for the word you spoke to us this morning. Father, we ask that you bless this tithe and this offering. Lord, we ask that you bless Brother Ron. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song, This Is My Desire.
This is my desire.
Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. Praise the Lord. You may be seated tonight. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Brother John Cockman is ministering tonight for Brother Mark Osborne, and that's why they're not here today, and I failed to mention that this morning. We want to remember as well Brother Mike Wall's church and the family of Brother Kennedy. They held a service this morning and did a memorial to Brother Kennedy, and they said it was a very fitting tribute to our brother, and it certainly helped the church through that initial shock of losing somebody so dear to them. We want to remember as well Sister Helen Williams, who's Sister Anna's grandmother, and then Brother Fulcher. We just ask that you would just remember him in prayer. And I just wanted to say two things locally here. Brother Ron Knobloch, he got a good doctor's report, and they said that his knee is healing, but they need him to stay off it because the kind of work that he does is sort of pretty physical, and he needs to stay off it because they're afraid he might re-injure it. Again, a re-injury in that kind of a wound is difficult to heal. It takes long term, so they want him to stay off it. So he gets some compensation after 20 days, but it's certainly not enough to cover. So I thought it would be good for us to help out and be able to give them a little boost. And that's what we do as a family. And they're away this weekend. They took advantage of the time off to go down and visit Rebecca down in Georgia. Her husband's in Fort Benning, Georgia. And so they're away this weekend. And I thought it'd be nice to help out. The other situation is with Brother Wayne Coffey. And Brother Wayne's not here today. Sister Faye was here this morning. And Brother Wayne was at the banquet last night, but he wasn't feeling good, didn't have a good week. And he's got this compression going on in his spine, and it's just making life miserable for him. And when he gets those headaches and the pressure in his spine and in his head, it just doesn't go away. There's nothing he can take that eases that pain and discomfort. So it makes it difficult for him to sleep, and when you don't sleep, things tend to be miserable. So we sure want to remember him in prayer. He's gone to a specialist, the specialist office, and they are waiting to make a recommendation which would come from the head surgeon of that area, but he's just not being very diligent about making a recommendation for Brother Wayne. So they're just looking at all the options. So if you don't mind remembering him in prayer, they're not here. That's why they're not here. And he's just not feeling good. So we just we know that God is able, and God's a miracle worker. We believe that. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we who are strong should pray for those that are weak, and pray for that person as though they are family, and just like we would take one of our loved ones to the Lord. I don't know if any of you wished Brother Jaron a happy birthday today, but it's his birthday. Brother Jaron, God bless you. Let's give him a round of applause. Him and Sister Annie have a birthday on the same day. We appreciate them very much. Now, let's put up the PowerPoint here, if you don't mind. I'm just going to show you a couple of pictures here, and this is what I told you about this morning a little bit, about Brother Angelus. And so I wanted you to see the picture. This is Brother Angelus, and he is just a real trooper, lives right on the border down there between Malawi and Tanzania, and it's in the very south. It's not a heavily populated area, and this is a very poor region of Tanzania. And I met him, had some time spent with him, not this last time, but the time before, I was very impressed with him. And his kind of brother, would never ask you for anything and never want to cause trouble or anything else, but just a very passionate person about the message. And these are Bibles that we had purchased as a church here, the red Bibles, and he gave them out as he visited the churches all throughout that region down there. And Brother Angelus is the kind of a guy who would just roll into a village, no believers there, and just start ministering, and this is what it looks like. You can see the area. Just pulls in on a street corner and just starts in preaching. Probably has a brother, might sing a little bit, get a crowd, and then just starts preaching. And for believers, they hand out Bibles to them, and he explains the gospel, explains the message, and then, you know, in subsequent visits comes along and baptizes. This is pretty primitive conditions really where he is. And Brother Elias was just, a good friend of his and recommended him and what we could do to help him out. And this is one of the churches down in that area down there. And you can see the group here. They are very wonderful believers down in that area. This is his church lot. That's his house. The church was attached right here. Monday there was a church building there. This was Friday. Nothing left. Today they had nowhere to go. They had nowhere to have church. And I thought, wow, just when I saw that, I looked at it over and over again. I just thought, wow, as a pastor, you know, what if you came down the road and you were looking around and this is what you saw, you know? Nothing there. No, they can't go hire an attorney, can't go to court, can't appeal to the town. He has nothing to show for years and years having a church on this spot. Nothing there. And I thought, boy, that's just the hand of the enemy that would destroy his base of operations. And, you know, he has nowhere now to bring people when they come in at a message and, you know, have them sit and have special meetings or anything else. And so it's just the way it is. So I said, Brother Elias, I called him up Saturday, and I just said, how about if I came over and me and you went down? We could stop in Gunga on the way. And he said, no, we're not taking you to Gunga. He said, but we could go down there. And I said, you know, well, how can we help him today? Like, how can we help him right away and let him know that, you know, there's something, somebody's thinking about him and somebody's praying for him? And he said, probably $500, he said, that would last them for months, renting a place and being able to put their church pews and that kind of thing, little sound system that they have. He said, $500 would go a long way. And I said, well, I said, you go to the bank. Brother Elias has a card, a check card, for our mission account we set up for him. So I said, you go to the bank, swipe that, take that money out, and get it down to Brother Angelus and just tell him we'd be praying for him today. Wow. It just, I look at that and I think, wow. Imagine if that was your church and you came down the road, you know. So what I would really like to do is be able to evaluate that with Brother Elias, Brother Angelus, and the ministers over there, and just ask Brother Angelus, you know, what's his vision now? Would he want to replace the church and buy a piece of land? Because if we were going to build a church there, help him build a church, I'd want him to buy the land outright so he has a deed to that land and nobody can take it from him. So that would be the first step. Does he want to rebuild there? Does he want to relocate somewhere where it'd be more effective? And now that process will begin, and then I'll let you know. And if we can help him to be able to build a new structure there, $20,000 or $30,000 very often will get them, a tremendous adequate building that they can put up and do it. And many times the brothers right in the church will do it. You know, they'll build it and set it up there. Maybe we could send over some of you brothers, Brother David, and get over there and help them out. I'd love to do that. I'd love to take a crew of guys and go over there and build a church and get it done. I think that would be just tremendous. But they're the kind that if they have the materials, they got a little bit of capital to work with, they're able to get it done. But I just thought, boy, that's just the hand of the enemy that would come against them. And so quickly, don't have time to plan, relocate, or anything, and to be able to get that done. So if we can, we'd sure like to be able to help them and to be able to pray. If you don't mind, just pray with them, and I'll keep you posted on what's happening there because we want the work to continue down in that area. And you know, this God is able to take bad situations and work them out for good to them that love him. We don't always know how to do that, but God always knows how to do that. And the thing to do is to not to react out of fear or anxiety, but just to just to commit it to God and then walk in faith and say, I believe this is what you'd have me to do, and then we stand with him and be able to support him in the endeavor. So that's what I'd like to do. But I just know that whenever God's moving, the enemy is there to attack in whatever way he can. If he can't get you the person Sometimes, you know, he'll use somebody outside, like the government or, you know, a landowner or something like that, and just causing their hearts to turn and, you know, bring trouble against you. But, you know, this happens in that part of the world. This happens, and it's not an uncommon occurrence. It's just that he didn't expect it there. So we'll just keep them in prayer, and I'll certainly keep you posted on things that are happening. Let's stand to our feet again. We're going to just invite Brother Craig to come and just minister what's on his heart this evening. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. How many enjoyed the word this morning? There was a lot there. And I just was really blessed and comforted. You know, you just go back to that solid foundation, you know, of Calvary's cross and what Jesus did for us. That's a great place for us to begin. So let's sing this evening here, and let's just, if you don't mind, let's just put everything aside. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to your heart tonight. And remember now, you're half of the gift. He's one half, you're the other half. And so let's just operate your part of the gift and pull on that. And just in your own heart, just say, Lord, chase away my tiredness and chase away my weariness and give me a mind that I can receive what you have for me tonight. Will you do that? Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens, our Father's love, great is the measure of our love. Let's sing it one more time. Think about his love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. Amen. It is high as the heaven above. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Oh, great the measure of our Father's love. Amen. Do you love him with all your hearts? Amen. We appreciate the love of God. God is good to us. Our hearts have been so happy just to be with you and to be in the worship with you. We love you with the love of the Lord. And I know we battle sleeping spirits in the evening. So everybody just draw your sword and smack that sleeping devil between the eyes. And I believe our hearts will be blessed by the Word of God. Let's turn in our Bibles, if we can, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll read verse 28 down through 34. And then we'll turn to Luke chapter 3. John chapter 1, verse 28. I've really enjoyed the worship here. Just really got a spirit touch to it. I really like it a lot. God bless you. Keep it up. And God inhabits the praises of his people. John chapter 1, verse 28. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I bear record, that this is the Son of God.
Luke chapter 3. We'll read one more scripture and we'll let you have your seats. Luke chapter 3, verse 34. I'm sorry, verse 21. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, that the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased. I want to preach tonight on the Lamb and the Dove. And if I could subtitle it, it would be a vision to the church. If we could just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You with everything in us, Lord. We thank You for this message that You've sent to earth. It just has made You so real to us. And You called us out of darkness. We could have been lost, groping, Lord, in darkness in this world. And there's so many pitfalls and roads to perdition. But You in Your sovereign grace, You reached out and You got a hold of us. And Lord, once we tasted of You, we just can't get enough. And Lord, we just want to welcome You here. Father, welcome You in our midst. We ask for forgiveness of our sins, any thoughts that would be contrary to You. Lord, we just want the Spirit of God to have its liberty. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God would just come off the pages and it would take flesh in our hearts tonight. We commit ourselves to You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, saints. You can have your seats. Thank you. I'd made a comment this morning, or quoting the scripture, without a vision, the people will perish. And it's so important that we as individuals, no matter how long that we have walked with God, that we always have a vision, that we're not stationary, that we're moving forward, that we are marching forward. And Brother Branham gave a vision to the church. I'm going to have quite a few quotes to quote tonight. But I just ask that you really lock in to what I'm going to say. It's a subject that's very dear to my heart. And it's actually, in my opinion, something Brother Branham brought to the church, which is the very key to the Holy Ghost in our lives, in our churches. And Brother Branham had a vision. And he gave it to the church. He preached the message, A Church in Its Condition, 1956. And Brother Branham said, now, coming out of Arrow of God's Deliverance, 1956, he said, now, I had some of the best anointings. And one message especially that the Lord gave me the other day, I have never had anything to strike me so in my life. A message to the church, the Lamb and the Dove. Brother Branham preaches another message called Church in Its Condition. And he said, I feel a few days ago a message to the church was given me at Shreveport, Louisiana. I believe it's the conditions of the church. Abraham's Covenant, Brother Branham said this in 1961. I believe I preached that message up here one time on the Lamb and the Dove. It is the greatest message that was ever given to me of the Lord. So Brother Branham refers to this message on the Lamb and the Dove, the church and its condition. And he takes these symbols out of the Bible, which, you know, Brother Branham had the spirit of Elijah. So he sees things like Elijah did. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. O ye generation of vipers. Brother Branham saw things in simple woodsman's terms, and he would break it down to the church in simple symbols that we could comprehend. And Brother Branham takes the symbol of a lamb that we read about and the symbol of the dove. And he begins to break down these symbols by the Bible, which is extraordinary to me. And he's showing how that God was symbolized on earth as a lamb. And there's so many places we could walk right to the Bible and show how that God had clothed Adam and Eve in lambskins, or how Abel offered an excellent sacrifice of a lamb and it was acceptable before God, or how Moses offered the Passover lamb, all the way down through the ages, how Jesus was born in a manger, or the prophets wore sheepskins, or, you know, shepherds announced the birth of Jesus Christ, or Isaiah 53 describes the Messiah as the Lamb of God. It is the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. We know it was in the mind of God. We know it was the program of God that the Messiah would be a Lamb. And Jesus was foreshadowed by this Lamb. And Jesus, God, reveals His own nature in the nature of a Lamb. Can you say amen? And then Brother Branham takes this and he works the symbol of the Lamb of God and shows God's nature as a Lamb. Then he shows the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now the Lamb is the meekest of all earthly creatures. But then Brother Branham takes the symbol of the dove. He said, the meekest of all heavenly creatures. And God is revealing Himself in this dove nature. The Lamb is earthly. The dove is heavenly. But the Lamb and the dove have the same nature. Can you say amen? And that Lamb or dove rather, that heavenly creature was a type of the Holy Spirit. It was the type of the Spirit of God. And Brother Branham showed now when John the Baptist was announcing the Lamb of God. He said that John had walked right out into the River Jordan. He described it. He said that great prophet eagle spread his wings and landed on the Jordan River. And he said he waded out into the river and he pointed at Christ. And he said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, because the spirit of Elijah was to announce the Lamb. He was trained all of his life to announce the Lamb, to identify the Lamb to the earth, to be the forerunner of the Lamb, to identify the Messiah. Can you say amen? And so he's going to announce the Messiah. Brother Branham said, it is one of the greatest events that the world has ever seen. And it only took just a couple minutes to fulfill. It's amazing, the greatest things on earth happen so quickly that it goes right by, and how many people missed it and how many people were sitting there criticizing it. And Brother Branham said that when Jesus walked out into wades out to meet John the Baptist, he said the eyes of the prophet connected with the eyes of the prophet. And he said, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why comest thou unto me? And Jesus said, that's right. Suffer it to be so, John. But it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So John takes the Lamb of God and he buries him in the water. And when he pulls Jesus up out of the water, the heavens open. And John had been trained to watch a sign. And he looked, he saw heaven open. Brother Branham said a pillar of fire like a dove was coming up out of the sky. And that dove came upon the Lamb. And when that dove connected with the Lamb, a voice said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in. Can you say amen? And this great revelation was showing, he was setting a pattern, how we receive the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, because if Jesus had the nature of a wolf, that dove nature could never have connected with it. The only reason that the dove nature connected with the lamb nature is because it was the same. Do you love the Lord? Because the two natures are in harmony. They can fellowship. They're very similar. And Brother Branham said now that Jesus, he said he was so meek, his voice was not heard in the streets. John the Baptist was a roaring lion. He said, but Jesus was a lamb and he had humble authority. Devils moved and he didn't have to scream at them. Devils moved. And Brother Branham said that great things are quiet things. Can you say amen? And Jesus now was revealing the very heart of God. He was revealing the very nature of God, what God was. He was expressing it to mankind. And Jesus did not conquer by hatred. In this world, it is brute strength. It is hatred. And you war with one another and you fight with one another. He said, but Jesus had a whole different method altogether. He said he conquered hatred by love. He conquered sickness by love. He conquered death by love. He conquered hell by love. He said he conquered, he fought in a different method, in a different way. And the secret to his power was humility. It's so different than human beings. The Bible tells us to be wise as a serpent and to be harmless as doves. This is God's expression. Brother Branham said he was so humble, but yet he was a man of power. He said he was humble when, you know, when people had confronted him or criticized him. He said, but he had enough grit about him to beat him out of the tabernacle when they got out of line. He said there was enough about him to stand for principle, to stand for truth, and to stand for what was right. Ain't that wonderful? I love the way that God designs the nature. You look, this was foreseen in David. David was a lover of God, and he would play the harp and worship God. But David was also a warrior. And David could fight and take on great enemies. But at the same time, he was a lover of God, had a passion and a tenderness and a sensitivity to God. How many said, Lord, make me like that? That I can be sensitive to the Spirit, but also have a little grit to stand when I need to stand. And Jesus was this kind of man. He was humble. He was gentle. But yet he was a man of power and he had a lot of sternness. And it takes submissiveness to even know God. It takes a submissive attitude and a submissive nature to go further in God. How many want more of God? The only way we can ever have more of God is through submission and through humility. Brother Branham said the way up is down, and that's a reality. He said if you want God to come in your heart, become gentle. If you want God in your life, become little. Jesus made himself no reputation. He was not a self-promoter, but God, he was approved of God. He never built his own ministry as we would look at success in a ministry. You would think, you know, surely you would make different choices. You know, but God don't look at success as we see success. God sees success as his will being done on earth. Can you say amen? And in order to stay with God, we must stay gentle. No matter how powerful of experience we had, whether we come out of the world, come out of the bar, come out of gross darkness, and whatever we had, what kind of experience we had yesterday, in order to stay with God, we must stay gentle. Can you say amen? It's a constant attitude. It's a constant striving. Brother Branham said, the greater God blesses you, the smaller you must become. He said, watch the harmony between the Father and the Son. That Jesus would do nothing but what God gave him a vision or God led him to do it. Can you say amen? And the dove led Jesus all through his life. The dove led him to the woman of Samaria. The dove led him in the story of Lazarus to be 4 days late. The dove led him every step. He said every step had meaning. He said we kind of just gant around. He said, but not Jesus. Everything he done had purpose. And that lamb, or that dove rather, led the lamb to Calvary. He led him there for us. Ain't that wonderful? And the Bible said that Jesus humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross. You think about this. Brother Branham said the greatest victory that was ever won was not necessarily Calvary. It was before Calvary. It was Gethsemane. He said this is where he was dying to his own will. He loved his disciples. He loved life. He loved sunsets. He loved to laugh and breathe and enjoy life. But there at Gethsemane, he said he had to make a decision. Will I submit myself to the word? Will I submit myself to the cross? He said he was dying more deaths in Gethsemane than he did Calvary. And did you know every one of us have a Gethsemane? Every one of us have to die to our own will, and that is the humbling of ourselves. He humbled himself to death, the death of the cross. I want you to think about this. A man that can walk on water, a man that can stop storms, a man that can call a man dead 4 days back to life again. And when they pull his beard out, he remains silent. And when they say, come off the cross, and he stays. And when they put a bag over his head and pound him in the face and said, tell us who hit you, and he holds his silence. When he could have called a legion of angels and turned the situation around, and he didn't. What was he doing? He was humbling himself to the cross. Whew. I wonder if we can humble ourselves to our cross. How many say, help me, Lord? Because we all have a cross to bear. It's a part of Christianity. And Brother Branham said that the Lamb conquered everything. Because John, when he saw that no man was worthy to take the book and look at the book, he began to weep, and a mighty angel said, weep not, John, for the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed, which means wrestled with and overcome. He has prevailed to take the book and to open the seals. And Brother Branham said, John was looking for a lion. And when he looked for the lion, he saw a lamb. And Brother Branham said, there you are, brethren. Through meekness, through sweetness of the Holy Spirit, we conquer. Not by great intellectual giants. He said, but a man that can humble himself, that's a conqueror. The man that can be kicked around and still be a servant of Christ, that's a conqueror. Amen. Ain't that wonderful? The Lamb was submissive to the Father's will, and he was demonstrating what a true Lamb is. That was the first Lamb. Brother Branham described him as the first Lamb, setting the pattern for all of God's lambs, all of God's flock. Watch the harmony between the Father and the Son. And then in the church ages, Brother Branham said, this harmony now exists between the Son and the Bride. The same relationship that the Father and the Son had is the same relationship we have. And the dove must lead this church. I speak this church, that we have a universal church worldwide. And the dove must lead this church on into the rapture. The dove, the Holy Spirit, is what opens our eyes. The Holy Spirit is what will guide us to perfection, to see the church fulfill the scriptures. It'll guide us to the fulfillment of this message, fulfillment of the word, the body change, the rapture of the church. How many believe that? It'll take us there. That's why Brother Branham went off the scene, but the Holy Spirit takes us on in. And you know, Brother Branham said when he was talking about the third pole, he said, you know, God will bring you into a greater anointing. Remember, he's a dove. And that dove must lead the lamb. He said, he's got a dove nature. And he said, you see, he is leading. He is leading us into the third pole. He is leading us. Without the Spirit of God, our efforts are in vain. Without the dove among us, we're wasting our time. Brother Branham said, that's the difference between the true and false church, is one is filled with the Spirit and one isn't. And so, Brother Branham said, there's something about worshiping. The goodness and gentleness of a dove, the Holy Ghost brings peace. How many appreciate worship? I was listening back there, and I love, you can discern it when you hear that touch of the Spirit and the saints of God ringing out the praises. God's heart is touched. And the Holy Ghost comes and He brings that gentleness, that peacefulness. And all of a sudden the burdens begin to roll away. All of a sudden the peace that passes all understanding. I appreciate that. See, it's the Holy Spirit, the dove. Just if we could see into the spirit realm, we would see the moving and the wooing of the Holy Spirit bringing God praise. Do you love the Lord? You know, Brother Branham said, innocence touches the heart of God. Innocence, that's why children touch the heart of God. In the beginning, they did not even know that they were naked. They were innocent. And before the fall, Adam and Eve were as innocent as children were innocent. And God would meet with them in that innocence in the garden. And the Garden of Eden was an economy of innocence. They lived in innocence. Their thoughts were innocent. But knowledge took the innocence away. So wherever the Holy Spirit comes, it'll bring innocence. And Satan is trying to combat it. But Brother Branham said that the innocence of Christ, when you are born again, comes back on the believer. And we are more innocent than a child. That's what he said. The most vilest sinner, he can soften his heart, change his appetites, change everything about him. I've met people and I say, it was this man? I met a man in the Philippines. And shook his hand. He was a deacon in a church. And the brother said, "Brother, this man has got a testimony." He said, "I was a very wicked man, brother." He said, "I've killed 8 men." A deacon. What? I imagine all the kids would be. You would never in your wildest dreams guess that this man was a killer. Was. When you're preaching the Word of God, tears rolling down his face, standing for God's people. Only God can turn the heart of a murderer into a child of innocence. Let me tell you, there is power in this message. There's power in the gospel. There's nothing in the world, no psychology can produce that. It takes the Word of God in your life to bring it to pass. Brother Branham said, there came a time God made us an example. He gave us the Lord Jesus. And when a sinner puts his hands upon the precious head and confesses his sins, he transfers from the sinner to Jesus the sins. And the innocence of Jesus is transferred by the Holy Ghost back to that person. You share in His meekness. You share in His power. You share in His obedience. And you will share in His resurrection. The blood makes you more innocent than a child. And we will be restored to that innocence. I'm looking forward to that day. That's why, Brother Branham, when he preached Future Home, he said, "I, John, saw the holy city descending out of heaven." And Brother Branham said, it was just like the dove that was coming down to the redeemed earth. How wonderful. Do you love the Lord? 1950, Brother Branham was trying to find the will of God. And Brother Bosworth was there, and Mita was there in the room. Bosworth took a letter and he opened it up. And he pulled out a letter and a picture, and it was a picture of Florence Nightingale Sherlaw. And he showed Brother Branham this picture of a woman that was 60 pounds, and her body was ate up from cancer. Cancer had cut off her bowels, I believe it was, and she was dying, looked like a human skeleton. And Florence Nightingale was trying to get Brother Branham to come to South Africa. And Brother Branham, I think, showed me, if I remember right, she started crying. He said, "How pitiful." And Bosworth, Sister Mita, and Brother Branham prayed. And when Brother Branham prayed, as he was trying to find the will of God, out of his mouth come these words: "If you want me to go to South Africa, I pray that you heal the woman. And this will be a sign that I will go to South Africa." So Brother Branham goes on with his preaching and so forth, ends up in England, you know the story, and he hears that Florence Nightingale hears that he's going to be in England. They fly her in this condition to England, and they try to connect Brother Branham to pray for Florence Nightingale, Sherlock. So this was one day, this happened one day after the Houston picture, the picture of the pillar of fire. The very next day is when this took place. And so Brother Branham, when he finds out that she is in England, he goes there to pray for her. And it was a very foggy day. And he said, I had about 7 to 10 ministers with me. Brother Baxter was there. And he said he came in and here's this human skeleton. And he said that he did not even know how she had moisture to cry. Her body was ate up with cancer. She was pushed to her very, you know, her extent of life. And Brother Branham said that as he held her hand and talked to her, she asked him, pray that God will take my life. And Brother Branham said, I pray for the sick. I cannot pray for that. And he said, me and the ministers, we knelt down in the room and we began to pray. And he said, there was a window seal that was eye level with my eyes. And when I began to pray, he said, a dove came into that window seal and very like a troubled moving back and forth. I can't remember the word that he used. He said, but he began to move back and forth, coo, 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 as he's praying. And he prayed, Lord, have mercy upon the woman and raise her up in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And when he looked at the other ministers, all the ministers were looking at the windowsill. And as soon as he said, amen, the dove flew away. And someone said, is that a pet or Brother Branham? Or someone said, is that a pet? And out of Brother Branham's mouth come, thus saith the Lord, you will not die, but you will live. It was so remarkable that Brother Baxter looked at Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, are you sure God will have to make a whole new woman? Brother Branham said, it's thus saith the Lord. And that was a sign for him to go to Africa. And that started the revival in Africa. God gave his sign on the wings of a dove. God, the Holy Spirit, still symbolized in a dove. Can you say amen? And Durban was the greatest religious meetings that the world has ever seen. 10 times greater than Pentecost. 10 times greater than Pentecost. He said, Brother Branham said, that opened, direct quote, that opened up the way to Africa and started a revival. Actually, they'd even begin hearing her testimony before Brother Branham got there. God has a way of doing things. How many believe in leading, the leading of the Lord, being led by the dove? Now, I want to say this. Not only that instance, but look at the very nature of this message. Look at the very nature of the prophet and how he handled his ministry when there were many contemporaries of that day who handled their ministries very, very different. Men of charisma, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, fine men. Nothing against the men. But they were promoters and they built colleges and they built great historical monuments. But if you watch Brother Branham, he was not elaborate. He was not charismatic. He was not theatrical. He was not a self-promoter. He was a man of humility that was unmatched. There is nobody that I have ever seen that could even pretend to be that humble. I tell my wife all the time, I'll be hearing a message play, and I'll say, I know one thing. If I'm right about one thing in this world, that message is from God. I can doubt myself, I can doubt men, but I know one thing. That message is sent by God because the nature of that message is the nature of this gospel. Can you say amen? You watch him as he prepared the people for divine healing. There's never anybody that has produced such a ministry that since Jesus Christ walked the earth, nothing can even touch it. I would venture to say not 1% of it. Nothing can touch it. But I want you to watch as he approached the presence of God, how Baxter and different ones would actually give instruction services how to approach the Holy Spirit. They never beated up the music. They took down the music. They never got loud as to work the emotions of the people, but rather sought to raise the faith of the people in quiet authority and quiet humility. It was reality. It is reality because you are not moving upon people's emotions whatsoever. It's quiet faith. And watch what comes out of this quiet humility. Brother Branham praying for 8 days long, only believe, only believe. Drink, real quietly drinking his juice and people quietly coming and supernatural miracles. Whew. He did not use excitement. He did not use fear. He did not use any kind of showmanship. It was humility and dependence upon God that produced the greatest thing since Jesus Christ walked the earth. Brother Branham would always tell him, be real, real reverent. He said, the Holy Spirit is very, very sensitive. He would tell them, be very, very careful. Don't, he says, direct quote, do not get excitable. The Holy Spirit don't like it at all. That's what he says, direct quote. He said, get quiet. This was the provided approach. And watch the results. Now remember, Azusa, in its humble beginnings, actually had a different nature than the Pentecostal movement today. And Brother Branham actually looked at the Pentecostals and seen a change of their nature and saw what they called revival was not the same thing that they had in 1906. And Brother Branham identified, this is not the same nature as your fathers began with and started with. Brother Branham seen the change of nature. He said, used to. People, he said, they would get saved before they even got the preacher out to the pulpit. He said, but now everything is cut and dried and programmed. And Brother Branham revealed to him, Brother Branham saw there was a problem, and the Lord revealed to him what the problem was. Now, I want to read you a quote. I've got several quotes here. Brother Branham said, the other night I was coming in here, and the Lord let me in the room, just a vision. And said, here's what's the matter with the church. They've got so much selfishness. The church of the living God has so much differences until they grieve the Holy Spirit away from them. That's exactly what it is, brother and sister. Until we humble ourselves and become a lamb so the dove can light upon us again and bring joy and peace and satisfaction and burning desire in our hearts to see others saved and come to God. We're simply fighting the wind. Wow. I believe with all my heart that this message was to turn our hearts back to the apostolic fathers. Brother Branham has given the secret into the presence of the Holy Spirit, where we can get our hearts back where they're supposed to be. Brother Branham said, now, coming out of church in his condition, that's what's happened to the church in the great majority, the gentleness of the Lamb of the God. We're supposed to be lambs, but we've become everything but lambs. And that's the reason we get the attitude. When we get that attitude, the dove takes its flight. If the Lamb of God would have made the first snarl like a wolf or would have done anything contrary to the gentle dove, it would not have permitted it. She would have left in a minute. And that's the reason today we're wondering what's the matter with the Pentecostal church. It's because it's taken a different nature. He said, we want our rights. And we have a right to do this. It's arrogant. It's hostile. We become indifferent. We let temper come in. We let selfishness come in. He said, I'm talking to Branham Tabernacle. Church in its condition. I'm talking to the tabernacle. That's what's the matter around here. That's what makes the dove take its flight. Just let someone start something around the church. Right then, the Holy Ghost flies away. It can't stand that kind of spirit. As long as that lamb nature leaves you, the Holy Ghost is gone. And that's what's the matter today. That's the reason the people are in the condition that they are. They let the wrong spirit come into their hearts and their life. The Bible said that's the reason so many are sick and afflicted among us. We must be peaceful. We must be a lamb so the dove can abide with us. Wow. I don't think Brother Branham is just filling in preaching time. I believe with all my heart God is revealing to him exactly the title of the message, the condition of the church. Brother Branham said that's why we don't have victory. He said, we have grieved the Holy Spirit away from us. Brother Branham, and I'm preaching on this as a principle now for us to live by. How many remember Dawson Riley? Dawson Riley, one of the best testimonies that I've enjoyed myself. Lion hunter, man's man, tough. I really just love his testimony. He was a sinner when Brother Branham knew him. But Brother Branham's salty life brought him to God. One day he loved Brother Branham, and he was a sinner, and he loved him. One day Brother Branham was telling him, now the Holy Spirit is very timid. Listen, young people, this will be a real life lesson for you to know how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He said, now the Holy Spirit is like a dove. It's very timid. And he said, just the least thing, it'll fly away. He said, now, if you do something wrong, he said, that dove likes to rest right here. And he said, if you do anything wrong, that dove will fly away. Not very far. He said, just to a limb right there. And he wants to come back. And he said, he's watching you, waiting for you to get that right. Because God will not dwell around sin. Waiting for us to get, how many believe in holy living and doing right? And he said, he's waiting for you to get right. He goes, and as soon as you get it right, he said, he'll come right back here like this again. And so this is heavy on Dawson's heart. And so he's out stacking lumber with his brother. And they're stacking lumber. And he said, hey, you know what Brother Branham told me? And they're saying, what's that? And he rehearsed just what I told you about the dove. And while he was saying that, a snow-white dove came and landed right on her shoulder. And he goes, and his brother goes, oh, what's that? He goes, I don't know. And he said, it flew over to a limb, and it flew back. It flew to a limb, it flew back, and then it flew away. How many believe this message is alive? Brother Branham, in Elijah terms, is giving us a way to know whether we're walking with the heavenly dove. He's showing us how to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And Brother Branham said, now, that meek, humble spirit that you used to have, temper like saw blades, the Holy Spirit took its flight. You put on shorts and the Spirit flew away. You smoked cigarettes, the Spirit flew away. You got grouchy and fussy. Husbands and wives don't do that, do we? Not in the message. He said that it flew away. He said the first temper spasm and the dove flew away. Some are only lambs at church, but are lions at home. And that can be kids too. Come walking down, you princess, come walking down the stairs. Good morning. What's good about it? Dring, dring. Hello. But you know, it's true. We can all just get in the flesh. Do you think it matters to God? You think Jesus ever roll over and kick the alarm clock? Do you think he ever had a temper spasm?
Or did he always walk like a lamb? Do you think the bride can walk like a lamb? I believe with all my heart that God has given us the power to be lambs. But I think that we got to be like Jesus, willing to be lambs. Being a lamb ain't so fun because you got to give up everything. Brother Branham said, if we become a lamb, our home life will be different. Young people, you should enjoy being home because there's going to come a time where you start working and it don't stop. And you need to enjoy your childhood now because once the season of life goes, you'll never get it back. You'll dream of those days one day. And it goes like this. You know what? If you become a lamb, your relationship with your parents will be better. If husbands and wives will become lambs, our relationship will be better with one another. And I know we can all use a better marriage and a better church and a better home. How many can say amen? The Bible told us, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of your redemption. He said, be kind one to another, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake forgave you. You know, many times when we say grieve not the Holy Ghost, we're thinking, you know, that's sitting on a bar stool pounding 40s and, you know, carrying on. But no, sometimes it's just an attitude. And Brother Branham told us that a dove don't even have gall. That there's no way. It just simply cannot digest anything that would, you know, be unclean. And Brother Branham said, that's just like the church. It's not even in our nature. It's not even in our appetite. When you have a real experience, the world, there, it has no pull whatsoever. When you're really filled with the Holy Spirit, a pull for the world does not exist. It ain't there. You say, Brother Craig, that scares me. I need to go further. Well, there's further for you. And the door is open wide. He's saying, come on in. Can you say amen? And so the dove is gone from our life when we have unforgiveness. We can try to bury it, but every time you pray, you know way back on the gable end of your soul, you've got something you need to make right. You know when you're in your life, when you're praying and you need something from God and something just keeps popping up like this, you know that there's something that you got to make right. That'll grieve it and will not go away until we fix it. How many believe in forgiveness? How many believe? I mean, when you are done wrong, when you're absolutely done wrong, Jesus, the Lamb of God, hung on the cross and cried, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. We need a lot of room for one another. We need a lot of forgiveness for one another. Unbelief in God's Word will grieve the Holy Spirit away. And you should never entertain unbelief. Young people, don't even let unbelieving thoughts go into your mind. Greatest battle ever fought. Brother Branham told us how to fight unbelief. You cast it down. Keep it out of your mind because it'll want to build a nest. Keep unbelief out of your mind. You say, well, my house has a token. I have no bad magazines, no television. I just listen to message tape. But you can actually entertain things on the inside and be just as wrong. We need to apply the token to our home and to our hearts. You love the Lord. Many don't even realize they've grieved the Holy Spirit out of their life. Brother Branham said, and I'm just saying it, Brother Branham said, painting your face is a heathen trait. It'll grieve the Holy Spirit out of your life. He said, getting mad at the preacher will grieve the Holy Spirit. It's always easy to blame Brother Barry. I mean, he's the reason for global warming. Bless the Lord. But that's what happens. He's a sitting target. Pastor's a sitting target, and he's an easy one to blame. You're the reason my life is miserable. No. Maybe God just sent a test. Maybe just to have a prayer meeting because you haven't talked to him in a long time. Getting mad at the preaching of the word. He's aiming right at me. He's speaking right to me. You know what? Maybe he is. If the shoe fits, wear it. If we're wrong, we need to be man enough to say we're wrong. If it don't fit, don't worry about it. How easy is that? Do you love your pastor? Amen. God sends God sent pastors, and you should support him and stand behind him. Brother Branham said this. I want to read it to you. Coming out of the church in his condition. That's the reason the meetings are not like they used to be. That's the reason the sawdust trail isn't born this morning in the tabernacle. That's the reason the great tent meetings are not around the country, because we have grieved the gentle dove. If you get a chance, go back and listen to the message, Church in Its Condition. He said, we won our way. Remember, Jesus opened not his mouth. God have mercy. He said, but today we won our differences. I'll go over and get him, boy. I'll take him apart, the old hypocrite. He said, the dove just takes its flight. The Holy Spirit is not with you anymore as long as you feel that way. Mark it down in a book. It'll never do it. The Spirit just won't stay around. It's got to be a lamb spirit, a gentle spirit. When he was reviled, he reviled not back. Look how Brother Branham, as a prophet of God, just hones in on the character of Jesus and begins to labor on a life that the Holy Spirit can deal with. We have the greatest message that has ever came to the face of the earth. I thank God for these principles. We're just pulling out unsearchable riches for our good. So our marriages can be strong. So our walk with God can be strong. Do you realize what is at our disposal? Do you realize what has been placed in our hands? We can be the most victorious Christians that ever walked the earth. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe those are just words. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's what the message has come here to do. Is to create a victorious people without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Did you know Brother Branham said, voicing your irritations, even if you're right, will grieve the Holy Spirit out of your life. Yes. He said, you're being a snarling wolf. You wonder what is the matter. You wonder where is your victory. He said, you've got to get that real meek spirit. Let the Holy Ghost lead me anywhere. I'm not talking about humble and proud of it. I'm talking about real humility. You know, humility, that word humility, means a humble opinion of oneself. Not appearing humble for the world to glorify, but a real humble spirit of oneself. I was privileged to know Brother Tom Brown, who was friends with Brother Branham and had many experiences with Brother Branham. And I'm not going to mention the preacher's name, but he was one of the number ones back in that day outside of Brother Branham. And they were all sitting around together with this popular preacher. And he said, Brother Branham was just like Jesus, the wallflower in the corner. And everybody was rallying behind this mega personality. Brother Tom's like, you big dummies. He loved Brother Branham. I said, Brother Tom, I said, what did Brother Branham do? He said, brother, he was so humble. He was just happy to be a part of the crowd. Brother Branham, when he said, I'm not a preacher, I don't think he was just talking. I really believe he felt that way about himself. Brother Branham was one of the most humblest men that the world has ever seen. But when he straightened up his arms and shoulders and said, I take every spirit under here, under my control for the glory of God, devils started fleeing. Amen. You know, Brother Branham said, listen to this. This is incredible. If the church would only go on with God as it should go, there would not be any cripples and afflictions around us. We got to confess our sins. You say, well, I don't do anything wrong. It's not that. Listen to this. It's neglect. Sometimes it's not moving up with God. It's not doing what the Holy Spirit, it's not watering what God has given you. You're grieving it away. If God gives you something, God wants you to take it and water it and let it manifest through your life. And when you neglect what God gives you, you grieve the Holy Ghost away. God help us to be better stewards of this message. I'm putting myself right with you because all of us can find where we're guilty. He said, and you people who wanted to renew the joy of your salvation, somewhere you've lost your joy. Think back what you did. Did you neglect prayer meeting? Did you neglect reading your Bible? Did you neglect your home? Did you neglect asking the blessing at the table? Don't ever do it. It's not becoming of Christians. If everywhere you left your joy, weed it out. That little root of bitterness that come in. If you ever grieve the Holy Spirit, then think back in your mind. Did I neglect church? Did I start fussing with another denomination? Did I pick on this one? Or did I do this to my neighbor and it sapped it out? Say, God, I'm sorry. I'll go make it right. And the Holy Ghost will return again. Ain't that wonderful? I've done a study on grieving the Holy Spirit, and Brother Branham says there's many things, and I've already covered many. Brother Branham said these are examples of grieving the Holy Spirit. He said our attitudes can grieve the Holy Spirit away. He said our arrogance, worldliness, resentment, being suspicious, not responding, will grieve the Holy Spirit out of the way, and stubbornness will grieve the Holy Spirit out of your life. It's amazing, isn't it? Brother Branham said, our own way will grieve Him out of our life. When the world comes in, it grieves the Holy Spirit away. And now he says this in church in his condition. He said, now, he said, the little dove, she's not very far from you this morning. She's sitting right there on the limb of peace, waiting for your nature to be changed. And that's the matter with people that don't receive the Holy Ghost when they're baptized, is because they don't thoroughly repent. God's trying to give them the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be meek and humble and gentle. Get the selfishness out of your heart. He said, but you got to come up gentle, quiet, meek, and humble, God's Spirit dwelling with you. How many say, Lord, start right now? I don't want to be superficial. I don't want to be artificial. I want to be genuine. It takes a willing heart, one willing to humble himself and let go of the past. Let go of those things. You feel dry and empty? Maybe you're dry in your experience for a long time. Maybe it's been a long time since you had a fresh experience from the Lord. Maybe we need to look back. Did I neglect something? Did I have an attitude somewhere? Is there something wrong in my life? Is my sincerity still there? Is my love for the message still there? And evaluate ourselves as we're approaching the coming of the Lord. Brother Ram said, maybe you've not cried. Maybe you've not blushed in many years. Maybe your heart's become hardened. Any of us is susceptible. I'm not preaching down to you. I believe with all my heart God sent this message so the Holy Spirit could move through the church to keep the church clean. And I would much rather have my judgment here than meet God and deceive myself and to find out I come short at the rapture. God help us to really be honest when we look in the mirror of God's Word. I want to be man enough to say, Lord, if I'm wrong, I want to measure up to being wrong. I really want to be right. I don't want to be a know-it-all. I want to be right. Did you know there's another one? Brother Branham said, being a know-it-all will grieve the Holy Spirit out of your life. It's incredible. Have you ever met anyone that's a know-it-all? But if you're not careful, you can't reach them. Yeah. And they're not listening. And they'll miss what God is trying to reveal to them. And it's the same with even studying the message. You'll think, yeah, know that. Your mind will click, click, click. Yeah, I know that. But if you look and study deeper, you'll find out, you'll find little keys there that you've never seen before that'll unlock incredible revelation. If you'll take the time to say, yes, I've heard this before, but I'm hunting to see it go deeper. How many want to go deeper with God? Your love to go deeper. Your experience to go deeper. Your prayer life to go deeper. Our heart's got to be tender. They've got to be pure in order for God to deal with them. When we got saved, we were lambs. Think about some of us were raised in the message, God bless you. God's keeping power in your life. God bless you. That's wonderful. I think it's a testimony because there's many that were raised in the message and are out in sin and disgrace. God bless you who have walked with God, being raised in this message and love God from a young age. God bless you. Some of us came from the world. And when we came out of the world, we were just so happy to see salvation for what it was. We became lambs. We didn't care if people made fun of us. We didn't care what, let the world laugh at us. We're ready to take it on. I'm ready to bear the reproach of the Lord. But you know, after you realize the church of the living God is human beings saved by the same blood, and we're still full of mistakes and frailty, you begin to get disappointed in one another. And you begin to relax and lose your first love. Then carnality begins to creep in again. It's the truth. It's human nature. That's how Brother Branham could tell a lie under pressure. You know, and I thank God that he was honest enough to share these things with us. Because we'd say, it's unattainable. But he brought it down to our level. He was a human being. And God just was with him the whole time. How many appreciate the message of the hour? Brother Branham said now, and I won't hold you long tonight. I know we're tired. He said, a lamb forfeits everything that it has. You know, I was in New Zealand, and I'd always read where Brother Branham said a lamb just lays on the shearing block. And I thought, oh, wow, you know. So I went to a farm. It was absolutely breathtaking, this farm. It was beautiful. And the men were, they had just hundreds of sheep. And they said, you're going to shear your first sheep today. And in my heart, I'm like, you know, I ain't got nothing to prove. But I went there, and the man walked out. They corralled the sheep with dogs. It was really amazing. He walked right out in the sheep, and he pulled one up like this, drug it out, grabbed these high-power clippers, and he just went over that thing and took all the wool off and was done with it. It was just free of wool, and it took off. And he said, now your turn. So I said, all right. So I mimicked exactly what he did. I waited right out there. He said, that one. I grabbed him. I drug him up just like I'd been doing it for 100 years. I laid him back. And I grabbed the clippers, and he starts kicking and fighting. Now, this is throwing me off because Brother Branham said they don't kick and fight. So I'm trying to compute in my mind, now, this is a prophet, but this one is kicking and fighting. Well, I found out that they lay back for their shepherd. But it was as scared as I was. And so I'm sitting there fighting him, and I'm taking the wool off of him, and I'm cutting him, and I'm hating it. I'm not really liking this at all. He's got little cuts in there, like, that's just like a shaven cut. Don't worry about it. And it's bleeding. And it's bothering me. I'm like, okay. And I start going. He's like, no, don't do that. I'm shaking. The sheep is shaking. But they do lay right back into the arms of the shepherd because they have confidence in the shepherd. How many would say, Lord, I need a shearing. I want to lay back into your arms, Lord, and you just hold me. You take anything you want, but just let me rest in your arms. You ever feel that way? Lord, you can take anything that is mine. I just need to feel your hands holding me up. Can you say amen? Let me tell you, there's nothing in this world worth holding on to. We need to give it to God, and the reward will be so much greater. But Brother Branham said, we won our rights. And when we won our rights, God cannot deal with us. I won't be much longer. God cannot deal with us when we won our rights. The Holy Spirit is looking for a heart to come into. Do you know that the Holy Ghost can fall on you right while I'm preaching the Word? Do you know the Holy Spirit is a reality? How many healings I've seen preaching the Word and the power of God strike someone and heal them completely or deliver them from oppression or anything like that. I've seen it over and over. I'm sure your pastor has seen it. The power of God will move under the preaching of the Word. The Holy Ghost follows the Word. He's looking for a heart that He can come into. I wonder how many in their hearts, as you have your own relationship with God, say, Lord, I want to be a lamb. I've seen where I've got a sticky nature. I've seen where I've just become a little bit hard. And Lord, I want You to shear it off tonight. I just want You to take anything that's unlike You. I want to yield it. Not my will, but Your will be done. If I got a little attitude, if I've got a complex, if I got something, Lord, take it away from me. I love this. They asked Brother Branham at the end of that message he preached. If you get a chance to listen to it, church in its condition. They said, Brother Branham, what is the solution? He said, it's easy. Become a lamb again. The Holy Spirit will come right back. He said that the dove is a home-loving bird. And if you remember Noah, he had let a crow out and that crow never came back. But then, the symbol of the Holy Spirit, He released a dove. As that dove flew, it returned, because it's a home-loving bird, with a holly leaf in its mouth, a sign of life. Brother Branham said, now, a dove is a home-loving bird, and it wants to return. It don't want to stay away. So God is not trying to strike us down and condemn us as cast-offs. He's trying to correct us and bring our character in a place where the Holy Spirit can come back into our lives, even when we've done wrong. Ain't that beautiful? The long arm of God's love constantly reaching, constantly correcting, constantly wanting us to be right. How beautiful. And I know every day we ought to be searching. Every day. Say, Lord, I can't go a minute without Your leading. I can't go a day without Your leading. Would You lead me, Lord? How many feel that way in their heart? I want to be a real Christian. I really want real humility. I don't want to appear humble. I really want to be a real Christian. Let the life that I saw manifested in the wave sheaf come into this church, this body, and let it manifest through the church of the living God, that the Holy Spirit can deal with our lives. Speak to us in dreams. Speak to us by the Holy Spirit, that we could hear His voice. Speak to us through the preaching of the Word, that God will deal with us when we come to church. He can tell you exactly your conversation the night before. He can tell you about your life. He can talk to you about your problems. That's the kind of God we serve, even the youngest of us. He can speak right to your need. I'd heard one time out in the South Country, this boy was fussing with his mama all the way to church. And he said he sat on the front row and they got to church and spirits all disturbed. The preacher, just an old country preacher, and he's a preaching away. And he was preaching on something, and all of a sudden he said, and you kids ought to obey your parents. And he goes, well. And he caught it. And he began to preach, and as he began to preach, he went up and down all over that boy on the front row. And that boy was just sinking, sinking, sinking. And he knew very well that God heard their conversation all the way to church. God hears our conversations between husbands and wives. God sees us even in the quiet places with our friends. Listen, we need the Holy Spirit to govern our lives. How many say, Lord, as I hear the prophet show the church in its condition and teach us these principles to the Holy Spirit, let me apply them to my life. I want to be real, Lord. I see the error of my ways, and I just want to humble myself. At the end of that message, it's astounding. Brother Branham is repenting, and his Bible is wet where he is weeping because he himself humbled himself. One time, Brother Branham saw a woman that had a need, and he said, and I asked the Lord to give me an answer for her. And God did not respond. He said, so I humbled myself. And God did not answer. He said, so I humbled myself again. And here he came. Brother Branham had the ability to humble himself in the presence of God that would actually bring the gift into operation. Many a times when he prayed, like the Mexican who was blind, he looked and said, Lord, my daddy would have been about this age. Or he would look at a cross-eyed girl and he would enter into the sufferings. He had an ability to humble himself in the presence of God, and the Spirit of God would take over. How many want the Spirit of God to take over? The way up is down. Can we stand to our feet? As the musicians will come and the pastor will come, let's just bow our heads for a moment with the deepest of sincerity. Gracious Eternal Father, we are believers, Lord, of an end-time message that has been vindicated more thoroughly than any time from the time of Enoch to the present. We believe this message was to turn our hearts back to the beginning, where your apostles walked in humble authority, we're human beings, Lord. And you knew, Father, our frame, that we're but dust. But you and your amazing grace came hunting us and you found us. Lord, we're just at your mercy tonight as we reflect upon our own lives. We don't want to be so proud, but we can't humble ourselves in your presence and ask you, Lord, forgive us where we've done wrong. Help us, Lord, to be more sensitive, Lord. Help us, dear God, to take on this lamb nature, that we can show our children how to be led of God and show our church, our friends all around us, that we can be led by the humble Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, as we have witnessed the very nature of the end time message in the sheaf. Let it be manifested in your people. We want to lay ourselves on the shaving block, as it were. Shear it all off, Lord. Take it all. Not our will, Lord. Your will be done. God, take everything, our pride, take all of our ambition, our stubbornness, shave it off tonight, Lord. Help us to be real. Help us to be pure. Let the innocence of the Holy Spirit, Lord, fall upon our hearts tonight. Bless the young people. Bless the middle-aged and the elders. Bless us together as the mystical body of Christ. Move among us, Lord. We thank you, Master. We ask your blessings upon us now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Can I have a help starting that song? He is here. Amen.
You have called me. I will answer.
Let's sing it together. Let's lift our hands to the Lord.
Dear Lord, I will follow.
Make that your prayer tonight.
Lead me, Lord, I will go. You have called.
Amen. How wonderful. Let's invite the Lord. Let's worship Him together. Lead me, Lord.
Lead me, Lord.
The
pastor will come.
cast all my cares upon him. It just sounds so nice. It just sounds so sweet. Now look, we'll leave in a moment. I guarantee you most of you are going to stick around at least 45 minutes or an hour in the parking lot talking. So let's steal a few minutes from that and just worship him tonight. It's just something nice about being in his presence. We've heard such good, solid stuff today. Good, solid things today. And you know what? I don't want to rush away from it. I want to just let it soak in. I want to let it touch me. I want to let it deal with my heart. So let's just do that tonight. Just don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about what you got to do tomorrow. Let's just enter into his presence tonight in just this way and just worship him. I cast all my cares upon you. Anybody need prayer tonight? I'm certainly glad to pray with you. And I lay all of my burdens down. Anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Again, yes, I cast all my cares upon you. Out to him now. Just know that he's near. Reach out to him now as he passes by. Holy, holy his name again. He is here. receive what you have need of tonight. Let virtue flow tonight. Bless your people tonight, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be. Ring it out again now. Hallelujah. He is here. Hallelujah. Everybody else, this is your moment with God. He's near to us. Thank you, Jesus. Touch your people, Lord, we pray. Here, you can touch him. You will believe it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, touch us, Lord. Sing it again now. Yes, we are standing on holy ground. And I know one more time. Oh, he is near, folks. Let's just touch him now as he passes by. He is here. Thank you, Jesus. On holy ground. And I know together now. Be prayerful now. Steve. Let us praise my Jesus now.
Just bow your heads with me.
gracious Heavenly Father. Lord, how we love your presence. And we believe that you are here tonight. Lord, we choose to believe that you are here tonight. You might not be through with us yet. We might be tired. Our minds might be on this coming week. Lord, we choose to believe that the power of Almighty God, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this building tonight. That you are here because by faith we believe that you are and that you deal in the hearts of your bride. We do that by faith. Lord, how we love you and how we thank you for how you deal in our lives. How we thank you for touching us in ways that we might not want to be touched. But Lord, you open up our hearts and then you give us exactly what we need, what we need to hear. So that we can come closer to you. You bring us in by your mercy and by your grace. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, may we just not leave this building the same. May we surrender everything that we are. Lord, for the word this morning and for this afternoon, Lord, we are so grateful that you chose us to, just this small group of people, that you chose us to be in this building today and to receive the very mind of Christ. And for that, Lord, we raise our hands and we say, we don't understand why, but we say thank you. It's with a grateful attitude, Lord, that we are in this presence tonight, Lord. Lord, we give you the preeminence. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of all the glory, Lord, that we can possibly give you. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our minds. And may we just wake up tomorrow morning and face the world that we live in and say, Lord, you are with me. May that pillar of fire that is in this building tonight, may that little lick of fire follow us as we go on this week. Whatever we have to do this week, whatever we're going to accomplish or do, Lord, may each one be filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as we face Laodicea in this coming week. And we believe that you can do it, Lord. We believe that your presence will go with your people. And we choose to believe that we are your people. So, Lord, go with us as we go from this building tonight. May you never leave us or forsake us. And actually, you already said you wouldn't. So we choose to believe that as well. Lord, how we love you. How we love you and how we thank you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy tonight. Go with us, Lord, tonight. May you bless Brother Craig as he surrendered himself to the Word of God and to the presence of God. As we did the same sitting there in the audience tonight, you came and you spoke to us. Lord, we praise you for that. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord today. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain again. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is. His power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Once again, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We believe there is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. First verse. There's an army rising up. Yes, there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? His presence is a wonderful thing. His presence is a glorious thing. And it takes believing people to bring the presence of God near. Not just one individual, not just one preacher, but it brings the, it requires the people all believing together and worshiping together. That's what brings the presence of God. And in the presence of God, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I believe everything is possible in the presence of God. And it's just a good thing for us to be in the presence of God. It's a good thing. It's a good place to be. And so, as we leave from this place today, we want to say, Lord, order my steps. And guide me and lead me now. And you be the one. You be the dove that leads. And you be the one that takes control, Lord. And just nudge me gently this way and that way. Brother Bram said when God leads, it's not a harsh jerk. He said it's just a nudge. Just a leading that way. And that's what we want to have, folks. And we want to have the sensitivity to know that. And know that it's God. Because He wants you to go the right way. He wants you to make it to the right place. He wants you to get you to the right destiny. You love Him tonight? Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps. Sing it again now. Order my steps in your word, dear Lord. Lead me and guide me every day. Send your anointing, Father, I pray. Order my steps in your word. Please order my steps. I want to walk worthy according to thy word. Please order my steps, Lord, and I'll do your blessed will. The world is ever changing, but you are still the same. If you'll order my steps, I'll praise your name. Order my steps in your word. I want to walk worthy according to thy word. Do your blessed will. But you still the same, I feel like my cup is full. After our banquet last night, and we had couples church last night, we had married folks church, and it was good. I'll tell you what, the food was good, the fellowship was good, but we had married folks church. And that was a blessing, I'll tell you what. And then today, all day today, in the conversation, the fellowship, it's just been good for us to be around believers today. You think about what that's done to you compared to what, you know, the rest of the world goes through and the things that they enjoy and the things that they partake of. And you go out in this world, it ought to seem strange and it ought to seem funny. It ought to seem odd and it ought to seem grievous when you go out in the world. Because we've been in a different presence and a different atmosphere and a different mindset altogether. You know what? I'll take this over that any day. I'll take this light over that darkness any day. I'll take this peace over that darkness any day. Yes, sir. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day we've had and this weekend in your presence, Lord. And it's just good. It just recharges our batteries. It just comforts our hearts to know, Lord, that you care about us. And you would visit us and you would speak to us. And Lord, you're concerned about what happens in our marriages and our families. And Lord, in our very innermost being, Lord. May, Lord, we adopt an attitude of humility, Lord. And one hand upon the cross, and one hand, Lord, facing forward. We just want to be mindful of you. And we say that many times, Lord. We depend upon your leadership, Lord. One day we believe we'll be on the other side. We'll cross to that gate and we'll be on the other side. And we'll have to be led no more because we will have made it. But until that moment, Lord, until that day when we enter through those gates, Lord, we don't want to lose your touch. We don't want to lose your leadership. We don't want to lose your guide and your watchful eye over us. So have your way, Lord, we pray. There's many sick and many afflicted, many who are not here tonight. We commit them to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you would minister to their bodies and their hearts, Lord. And being sick for a long time, Lord, it does something to your spirit. And may, Lord, the people be revived, I pray. And Lord, may the members of the body of Christ be ministered to. We think, Lord, of the many around the world that are serving you. And Lord, reaching out to you tonight. Think of Brother Angelus, Lord, in his church over there. And Lord, may you just draw near and let them know that this is not the end of anything. This is just a corner he's turning. And Lord, I believe you have something good ahead for him. And I pray that you'd give him that comfort. Lord, encourage his people and his family, his wife, Lord, I pray. And Father, just draw near to them. Bless Brother Craig and Sister Anna now as they just enjoy their few hours more away and guide them safely back home to their family. We just thank you, Lord, for their fellowship and their ministry and the blessing they are to us. Have your way, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Wednesday night service. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. Sing it as you go tonight. You're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you more. Sing it again, same one. Lord, I want to love you more than I ever have before. And you're so easy to adore. Lord, I want to love you. Lord, I want to know you more than I